Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
I suppose it's difficult to shake off the shadow of the disaster, particularly while the remains of the jetty are still visible out there. And, you know, it's always a reminder, sort of albatross hanging around your neck to a certain extent. Following the disaster, we've had the story of job losses, heavy job losses within the town. The economy of the town took a severe battering as a result of this. Coupled with this was the fact, like, that nationally we were in a recession period anyway.
I'm Intar Tomás Amorico, and I'm the chairman of the Bantry Action Group and curate here in Bantry. We have something like 220 men, say, unemployed in the Bantry area, with possibly 105 females. And this would be out of roughly a population of 5,000 people. There's a further threat or a further cloud hanging over the town, in that the town is threatened with the loss of 60 jobs in the local telephone exchange. And should that come about, the town will be a morgue altogether.
My name is Sheila Crowe, and I'm a telephonist in Bantry Telephone Exchange. At present, the manual exchange in Bantry has been scheduled to go automatic in the next couple of months, and that means that the operators which are at present working there are being transferred or else losing their jobs. Most of them will be transferred probably to Cork or a near exchange of their choice, and the rest, which are night operators, will lose their jobs because they're not transferable. There are also some of the day staff which will have to resign because they're married and they have family commitments. The operators, and I speak on behalf of them all, I think, when I say very few of them, or in fact none of them, want to move to Cork. Bantry suits them. Bantry is the town they choose to live in, and they want to stay there. We also feel that by keeping an exchange in Bantry itself, that we will give a better service to the area, and we can't see the reason why we should be sent to Cork to do the job which we can do just as well in Bantry. This new system that they're putting in, it's fantastic and we agree with it, but we think that there's room for us there as well. And centralisation, from our point of view, is not on. Decentralisation is what we want. We want it in Bantry. Bantry, roughly 3 years ago, Bantry was a lively town. There was an atmosphere of life. It was, you go out socially, it was lively. Now there's a depressing atmosphere in the town. It's just, it feels dead. The people just haven't the incentive to keep going, because there are no jobs here for the young people that are coming out of school, and there are no jobs here for the people that have been made redundant when the Gulf closed, and they just have to leave. And when you leave, there's nothing left. Well, we've been campaigning for a permanent full 1-0 centre for West Cork, not just for Bantry, and they say they'll give us a 1-0 exchange for Bantry area. That's a totally different thing. We're still pressurising them through our local TDs and also through the Bantry Action Group, of which I am a member.
Present were Antara Morocco, Sean Kelly, Michael Milner, Maureen Cronin, Sheila Crowe, Geraldine Collins, Jimmy Coakley and Mary O'Mahony. It was agreed to stick to Tuesday nights for meetings except for any emergencies. A copy of Sunday's newsletter are to be sent to the three local TDs. Office of the Minister for Industry and Energy. Dear Father Morocco, just to note to confirm that I am taking up with the Minister for Post and Telegraphs, Mr. Paddy Cooney, TD, the question of Bantry being approved as a permanent 1-0 centre. I will be in touch with you again as soon as possible. Yours sincerely, Michael O'Leary, TD, Coniston, Minister for Industry.
This letter arrived from Patrick Cooney, TD, and it was a revamped letter. The former seemingly was to Mr. Sheehan was a draft, but this one has been rewritten, and it reads as follows. My department, Ahidakara, my department has now completed its consideration of the Bantry Action Group's request that operator service be retained in Bantry when the manual exchanges in the area are converted to automatic working. I'm pleased to tell you that it has been decided that operator-assisted calls in the area for which Bantry Exchange is the control centre will continue to be handled at Bantry when automatic service is introduced. Some rearrangement of the circuits between Cork and Bantry...
Having said this, the group wish to put on record a number of serious reservations which they still hold. And these are as follows. Number one, the Bantry Action Group campaigned for the establishment of a permanent 1-0 centre for West Cork in Bantry. Two, with regard to this, they wish to state that it is far from clear that the proposed exchange will continue to operate in Bantry on a permanent basis.
I'm Tim Coakley, and I'm from the town of Bantry. I've lived here all my life. I am a member of the Post Office Engineering Branch. I work in the Post Office Engineering Branch. And I'm aware of the impending change over to automatic working for the telephone system in this area. I'm also aware of the effect that this changeover is going to have on the people directly employed in the telephone exchange in Bantry, and also to the people of the town who are going to be at the loss of a further 60 jobs on top of the already large number of redundancies that came in the light of Whitty and its service industries. And I think... from my point of view anyway, and from the point of view of the Bantry Action Group, of which I'm a member, it is totally unnecessary for the department to take these jobs from the town of Bantry. We have been in contact with them on a number of occasions. We've had discussions with them in Dublin, with the heads of the department. We've written several letters to them and got replies, and have lobbied our local TDs and so on the matter. And as it stands at the moment, things are still not looking the best for the operators in Bantry. The department say that they'll keep that they will keep the jobs in the exchange in the interim period. I think that once the need for the operators, from the department's point of view, has gone, that they will then take the jobs out of the town and work the 1-0 centre into Cork City. Now, as anybody who has used the telephone in Cork at any time will know, the Cork city system is already overloaded to the last, and the people of Bantry require these jobs every bit as much, if not more, than having them in Cork City. The town at the moment is fairly bleak. We're now in the month of November. It's a typical time to see typical Bantry, because the tourist season, which is a very short season now, is gone, like, and we are very dependent on tourism around here. But in the winter months, it really shows up to any person visiting the town that... the town is very quiet. It's practically a ghost town. There was a time, I remember, we'll say up to 10 years ago, I remember as a young fella seeing the people coming off of boats and what have you that were working on Whitty Island on the construction of the Gulf Oil Terminal there. I've seen the multinational company come to the town. I've seen them spend the money in the town. And I've seen the town in the times when it was like the old gold rush towns. I've also seen the multinational company more or less pull out, and because of the fact that while the multinational company was here, the area was not developed in any other way. Government bodies and government agencies more or less forgot about it. They said they had Gulf Oil, so they have enough. That was the attitude, I think, that they took. And when they pulled out, we found that the IDA, for instance, hadn't spent one shilling in Bantry in 10 years.
Gary O'Donovan and I worked on this island, Whitty Island, for Gulf Oil for 12 years until the disaster happened. And then, after a short period of redundancy, I had to go and find work in Alcan in Limerick, where I've been working for the last 9 months. And now I'm redundant again. The feeling for Bantry was it was secure, it was a secure job. As a family man, the future was all laid out before us, and then the bottom fell out of the barrel, so to speak. And there was nothing else for it then but to travel on, as there is nothing else in Bantry, and the future is very grim. So I went up and had an interview in Alcan and got a job there, and I was there for 9 months. And eventually, because that firm are winding up their operation, I now find myself redundant again. And I did try for a couple of jobs locally, but without success. So at the moment, I feel there's nothing again for it but to travel again. The effects, of course, on home life in this is very hard, because number one, it's very hard on your wife because she's got an awful lot of extra decisions to make, especially if you've a teenage family. They need both parents there, really. And I mean, in effect, she's a grass widow, so to speak, all the week. When you're away from home, it's the fact, first of all, despite earning big money, you must realise that you have to keep two homes going. In effect, you've got to keep yourself going away, and you've got to keep your own home going as well. So you're living a kind of a double standard, keeping two houses or two bases, operating off two bases going. And when you come home, there's not really enough time to get the odd jobs around the house done, and to grasp, you lose the touch of family life, to grasp all that's happening, how kids are doing at their studies and various other family, the ordinary day problems which arise at any house. You're too tired anyway. You've been working all the week and you're tired, and in effect you come home for a rest and you're not up to dealing with these everyday problems which arise in any house. And that's why you throw so much over on your wife, because she's operating alone and making decisions alone without anybody to discuss them with during the week and all that type of thing. And as I say, I'd hate to have to leave altogether, but as we are here now, I cannot really see any big future for it, only to go again. It would be only a very last resort that I'd consider pulling out the whole family, seeing that they all know their life but living here in Bantry. But if I had to do it, it would be a case of have to. You would have to do it. You'd have to assess the situation as it is now. And if there was a hope or a chance that you could say that in 6 or 12 months' time, there was no opening for Bantry, but at the moment it's like a dark tunnel with no light at the end of it. It's just a dying town. The unfortunate part about it, that even in the people themselves, and I find it in quite a lot, is there's a certain apathy. There's a certain waiting for some miracle to happen. People are disillusioned. And of course, there is nothing worse for any man than to be hanging around idle all the day. It's demoralising and it's depressing and all that kind of thing. And the Bantry is slowly sinking. They feel that there is no hope.
My name is Sean Kelly, Vice Chairman of the Bantry Action Group. Bantry used to be a garrison town at one stage. And I think the sea has always been good to Bantry to a certain extent, in that there were always ships which came in with people, carrying people who spent money in the town. And even though there was a large time gap between the time when Bantry folded up as a garrison town and the time that Gulf was established here, yet in the 60s, amazingly, it started to happen all over again, and large ships came into the bay carrying large numbers of men with a lot of money to spend.
I'm Billy O'Donovan and I'm retired.
I'm Jeremiah Horan, I'm also retired.
It was a big supply base for the British Navy and the Army in Bear Island. As an indication of its prosperity, there were at that time about 52 public houses in Bantry.
To come to later years then, I remember when first I went working, several ships came to the pier, maybe one every week, and several men were employed. But nowadays, all that has gone, and I suppose, in that sense, the town has lost an awful lot. Maize from Liverpool was imported, and there were three coal merchants in town
who got in cargoes of coal very often.
We're talking now about the period from in the 20s and 30s.
30s up to 38s, 39s.
Yeah. Well, the 20s too. It applied in the 20s as well.
See, there wasn't so much maize coming then, you see.
There was, because I mean, Biggs's were one of the millers were working a 24-hour day, which meant that they were supplying a big area.
It was in a small scale then. A new mill had been built in 1928, and that mill supplied an area maybe over 30 miles away.
It never reached the same level of prosperity since the state became independent. In my young days, there were big numbers of small boats, seine boats and the like, fishing from the various points around the bay. And they were part-time fishermen, and they were very successful in most cases. But then when the bigger boats came outside and the deeper, the numbers of fish gradually were reduced, and so the fishing was not as profitable as it had been.
At the same time, a coal store was built where fish were stored for a time. If the catch was small, the fish were stored there, and then when a sufficient load was to be had, it was sent straight to Dublin.
There's an interesting difference between Dingle and Bantry. Both are seaside towns, towns of comparable size. Both, in their separate ways, make their living from the sea. The main difference which I have noticed is that in Dingle, the philosophy is that you go out to the sea to bring in the wealth. In Bantry, I think the tendency is more to wait for the wealth to come in from the sea.
In the 50s, then, there were the tourist trade eased off, the building virtually ceased, and there was very drastic immigration in the 50s. The parents, in many cases, were not anxious to have the older children come back, because they only encouraged the younger members to leave. There were a few small industries started in the 60s, but while they were very beneficial, they didn't really solve the problem of unemployment. And it remained virtually static until the Gulf Isle decided to build terminal in Bantry.
My name is Johnny O'Connor. I'm the man shop Bantry, treasurer of the Traders Association. And the good days, as I remember, were the building of the Gulf Isle terminal here in Bantry, followed by the tanker traffic that resulted from that. The town was very busy during those days. The crews were very, very good spenders, and the town on the whole showed an improvement from that. There were more jobs in town. The crews were spent a lot of money, as I said, but they were generally accepted as part of the community. The same faces kept coming back every 2 months. They came in on Sunday or Monday. The shops opened up for them and gave them a very, very good service. And the crews as such appreciated that. We got to know them very personally. They were, we used to get letters from them from Japan and further afield, and they became part of the community. Went to the dances here, and the people in the shops knew them and spoke to them when they met them in the pubs or socialising and this kind of thing. And I think the crews really appreciated the good neighbourliness and the friendliness of the Bantry people during that period. This was a tremendous boon, and we walked here in town, my partner and I, and we saw this boom taking place, and we decided that there was room there for us too, and we opened our own premises, and we had about three very, very good years as a result of the tanker traffic. Then we had the Whitty disaster, and from that onwards then business started to go down in Bantry. The very heavy buying days were gone, and we noticed a gradual change in the spending power around. It wasn't very noticeable for about 12 months afterwards, but the people of the town began to get very, very worried. A lot of people were on notice in the particular jobs they were in, and the traders as such got worried. From that, the Traders Association was formed. They were principally set up to improve business in the town, to attract business, if at all possible, from the outlying areas that might have been going into nearby towns. We did several promotions. We did a bargain week. This was done first and foremost to get the people in Bantry to spend more money in the town. Secondly, to bring in people from outlying areas. There were quite a number of groups that were associated with the Gulf Isle Tamil one way or another. We had a number of custom and excise people. We had possibly around 15 to 20 MTT at one stage. These all left the town because Gulf was their main reason for being here. Then you had other small, you had Carroll Shipping and the Towing Company and the Bantry Tanker Agency. All these employed in their own way quite a number of people, and these all had to leave because there was no jobs here for them. Some of them went as far away as Alcan, more went to Waterford, and more are still around here, unemployed.
Well, as a priest in Bantry, I'm accustomed to visit the houses in the town and visitation. And there, I meet the people. I meet the young people, I meet the old people. I meet the fathers and the mothers. But in these past few years, since the tragedy occurred here at the Gulf Terminal, there's a type of gloom and hopelessness has settled over the place. It's terrible to see men who want to work unable to find suitable employment in their own area. As well as that, of course, I come across families where you may have four, five or six children, people, some of them leaving school with no prospects in store for them.
I am Barry O'Neill, Secretary of Bantry Blues GA Club. Bantry Blues revival really started in the late 60s and early 70s. In 72 we won the junior county, and in 75 we won the intermediate county. And this year, 1981, we reached the climax, really, of it by reaching the final of the Cork County Championship versus NEMA. In the early 70s, it was easier to get players that were at home, they found employment. This year, facing the county final, four players in the middle of the season, late July, had to leave the Bantry area and find employment in Elkin. This created problems as coming up to the semi-final of the county and also facing the county. They were unavailable for training during the week, and also coming up to the final itself, leading into the climax of it and the tension and all that, they were missing out, and the training. They had to train alone down in Limerick, and they weren't available for chance games during the week or practice. Next year now, we have to start into the season from the very first goal without the four players in Elkin. We had that situation this year because they hadn't gone until late July. We have a player in Galway, another in Offaly, and a couple in Dublin. So the thing about it, kind of, we won't have them from the very first goal.
There were quite a number of redundancies, as was anything up to 110 redundancies in all, and quite a number of these men have had to seek employment outside their own local area, outside the Bantry area, and as many as 30 have gone to the Elkin site up around Limerick, as well as a number of them, maybe anything up to 10, have gone to Waterford to work with the Bell Line.
My name is Pat O'Donovan. My husband was employed by Bantry Bay Towing Company and was made redundant last October. He is now working with Elkin in Ahanish. It gets very frustrating at times. I miss him terribly. The children miss him. He leaves on Monday morning at 5 a.m. and he returns home on Saturday evening around 6 o'clock. And I can tell you there's fierce excitement in the house when he puts his key in the door. The children especially love to see him. Naturally enough, I do myself. And the time is so short, like it's really only Saturday night, Sunday. So we try and do the best we can with the time we have. The children miss him terribly during the week, especially the two bigger ones who are at school. They come home with their little bits and pieces and they often say, I'd love if I could tell Daddy this. And so I have to say, well, save it for the weekend until he comes home. But more often than not, I guess it's forgotten by Saturday evening when he comes home. We usually have a lot to talk about, naturally enough, and when once the kids go to bed, like, we settle down and we talk about the week's experience, and I tell him the little bits and pieces, but I try not to tell him too much about the times, like when I needed him, I guess, because it's frustrating enough for him to be away all the week without having to tell the tales, in a sense. Well, on Sunday, then, we really have a family day. I mean, we're always hoping that something will happen in Bantry. We have a beautiful bay out there and absolutely nothing happening there. There's deep water, there's, I'm sure, all conveniences. Everything seems to be happening in, say, the Shannon Estuary or even Cork Harbour, and we're getting absolutely nothing down in Bantry. We'd just like to know why. Well, if it continues the way it is, I suppose we'll just have to think about moving house. That's if he can get a permanent job somewhere. I mean, we'll just have to go where the work is. But at the moment, I wouldn't move because, well, the fact that he hasn't got a permanent job.
My name is Michael Milner, PRO of the Bantry Action Group. Well, because of the national recession and because of all the redundancies in the Gulf Oil Terminal and the other jobs that were lost because of that, and also because of the local firms had to leave certain individuals go because of loss of business as well, there was a feeling of apathy and despair in the town. And the people decided that they have had enough of this, and they felt it was time they had to stand up and be counted and to bring their problems out in the open to the national press and to the government and to the people of Ireland. And with this in mind, the people came together to march for jobs for the area. This was the whole population. All the shops in the town and industries closed for the half day on the at the end of March to show solidarity and to show that they were really serious about their quest for jobs. In the past, tourism was a very important part of the local economy. We have many hotels and guest houses and restaurants depending on tourism for a living. In the past number of years, the tourists have not come to Bantry.
My name is Lorcan Clifford. I'm chairman of Fáilte Bantry. I would say most of these businesses have tried their best to keep the numbers, their previous numbers implied, but some of them certainly have had to let people go. And these, of course, have added to the large numbers already unemployed in the town. The only way that they can make up for the business lost in this way is to try and get more visitors into the town. Recession worldwide and the recession of this country has significantly affected us. 1980 was certainly a bad year, as you say. 79 wasn't a very good year. It was down, and 78 was quite good. 79 was numbers were down. 80 was a bad year. And 81 was probably worse than 1980. But we do see a need for developing the water more, possibly developing a leisure and sports complex on the water, which would incorporate a marina, a yachting basin, boats for hire for fishing and cruising, and a place where people can rent equipment to go fishing and so on.
I'm in Tahar Tomás Morocco, and I'm the chairman of the Bantry Action Group. Well, of course, the key to the development of West Cork lies in the magnificent harbour that you have here in Bantry. It's comparable with Sydney Harbour and has been compared with it by many authorities. But it's really in its, it's still the way God created it. Man has not left his imprint in any way on this particular bay. Now, I suppose, quoting an Irish phrase, or an adage would be, Bountry gone boyd, but Bountry gone oid. Bantry without a boat is Bantry unnoticed, that we're translating it literally. This is a facility which is not alone a local asset, but a national asset. And those who have been responsible for not developing it are betraying the nation. The history of the idea here is non-existent in the sense that in the time of the development here, or in development throughout the country for the past 10 years, you did not have any development worthwhile in this area. However, the idea have certainly improved their performance in the recent past, say in the past year and a half or two, in that they have purchased about 13 and a half acres for an industrial site. The new managing director of the idea was here recently and in the past few days.
So we want you to come and talk to us. We're here today, we're here tomorrow, but our regional offices are available to you at all times. We'll help you if you need it. We'll help you to find an idea. We'll help you then to measure what the market for it is. We'll help you to identify the skills. We'll help you to identify what skills...
I'm Padraig White, Managing Director of the IDA. I'm here in Bantry this evening for a very simple purpose, namely to try and stimulate interest amongst the people of Bantry in developing their own industries, and particularly their own small industries. In Bantry, we've had a long history of little development, and I've come here really to acknowledge that there has been little development, little new job creation in the Bantry area, but also to bring home to the people that the answer to their problems doesn't lie entirely outside the community, and that's why while we in the IDA will be working on encouraging some outside industry or foreign industry to come in, that in parallel with that, that the community itself should develop its own entrepreneurs and its own business people. We have spent a good number of years trying to overcome one very practical problem in Bantry, namely to get a good site on which you can develop industries, both large and small. We spent many years doing that. We encountered many difficulties in planning permissions, getting water and sewerage, uneven land and so forth. We finally made that breakthrough last year, and we've, I think, followed through very quickly in building one large advanced factory that is going to cost us about £500,000, four small factories that will cost about £250,000, and these four small factories are aimed entirely at local people. So what we're doing here this evening is saying, look, hundreds of Irish people have developed their own businesses. Don't sit back and sort of wait for everyone to find a solution for you. We've played our part up to this by making the investment and the facilities. We're here today explaining to the local people all the kinds of ideas that could form the basis of small industry. My staff will be here tonight, they'll be here all day tomorrow, for that very purpose. And if necessary, we'll come back in 3 months' time and hopefully get the interest and stimulation of the people to look inwards, because there is a very bad tradition in the western parts of the country, which is to sit back, wait for the grant, wait for government to do something, wait for ministers, politicians to do something.
My name is Sean Kelly, Vice Chairman of the Bantry Action Group.
I think the important thing is perhaps that the will is now beginning to show itself to do something about this unemployment. We have had high unemployment in Bantry in the past, and in those days, I think, in the 50s, a different attitude was taken to it. It was accepted as a fact of life, and you simply saved up enough money to buy your ticket on the boat. I think the younger people who are growing up in the area nowadays are of a completely different mentality. They won't accept this sort of situation lying down, and they are demanding the right to, some of them at any rate, are demanding the right to earn a living in their own area. The development of Bantry as a growth centre for southwest Cork Kerry is a job that will require a combination of forces. Obviously, the local people have an input to this. But also, at a national level, I would see the government and government agencies such as the IDA playing a very important part.
My name is Michael Milner, PRO of the Bantry Action Group. The ENCO Centre is a very important part of our document, one of our major recommendations in actual fact, because we feel that the development of Bantry and the growth of Bantry in the future depends on the young people, and we need our young people around us. As it is at the moment, as the young people leave school, they have to leave the area. What we want to do now is to make sure that when they do leave school, that they will be able to stay in the area by getting skills. And the skills can only be got in an ENCO centre. And we feel that this ENCO centre is certainly a must for Bantry.
But it's a terrible thing to see possibly foreigners coming in and enjoying the scenic beauty of the area, and to see our own people having to leave, not because they want to, but because they have to. There's a tremendous need for decentralisation from Dublin. First of all, you have the flat dwellers problem there. You can't find suitable accommodation. The people are being exploited. The young people coming in from the country are being exploited in the type of hovels that some of them have to put up with. It's a terrible thing that these people have left some of the most beautiful parts of Ireland. And here you have a top heavy nation with the head too heavy for the body. Dublin being the head, of course, and Bantry being part of that body, so that it's you would see again. You'd expect government to develop a policy by which jobs were situated in a balanced way throughout the country.
I just have to make my own social life. I really don't. I suppose I really don't do that much, you know, while he's away. I prefer if he was here. And we're used to going out together, so it's not very exciting going out on my own unless I go out with family. But sometimes, like, I mean, you get the idea that people were saying, well, gosh, she's out on her own, like, where's her husband? This kind of an attitude. But no, I'd be happier to go out with him. And we just have to, as I say, maybe go out on a Saturday night or even on a Sunday night. Say, for example, now in the winter, the social evenings, dinner dances, etc., are usually held on Friday night. Well, unless he makes a special effort and come home on a Friday night, that's the only way we could get to them. I certainly wouldn't go on my own. He has a long weekend every 6 weeks, which means he comes home on a Friday and doesn't go back until Tuesday, so that's really something to look forward to. Yes, he could make a point and come home on a Friday night now and again, but it's a bit costly, like, because Saturday really is very good, and it makes the job more worthwhile for him. It is overtime, but really, if he didn't work on Saturday, it really wouldn't be worth his while being so far away from home. Well, if there was a permanent job in Elkin, yes, after the construction, I'm sure we just have to make up our mind to go. Well, it would be very hard to leave Bantry. I suppose I've lived here all my life, and so has Jerry. And we have our own friends and our parents and sisters and brothers and family in general, friends, and like it would be very hard really to leave, but as I say, we'll just have to go where the work is.
The present gloom of the in the area is similar to that which existed in the early 1950s when the outlook was very grim and the younger people had only to look forward to